Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Hey, welcome back to Project Independence in You. I'm Rebecca Miller, and I am the guest host today for this program, along with our co-host, the wonderful Otto Loos.
Oh, boy, you're flattering me.
I know. That's because I know we're going to go to the steakhouse soon. So
that's a good thing.
There you go.
For breakfast.
Yeah. Yes, steak and eggs.
We've been talking to Ron Fatula, who is a friend of Project Independence and been on the show several times, giving out some really, really important information on long-term planning, not just for healthcare, but financial wills. And, you know, if you've got a pen and paper, you know, get it out and just write down everything you're hearing, because this is really valuable information. It's so important to plan. You know, we talked a little bit before the show about, when my parents were planning, they were, planning for 80, people in their 80s back then were the older generation. And today people are, still working or just starting to retire at 80. People are living to 90 independently at home. I mean, certainly there are issues that come into play with driving. And like you even said, you have clients in their hundreds.
We do. We had a client who passed away a couple of years ago at 107.
Wow.
That was our record.
Mm. That's amazing. So how does that change the way we plan today versus when, my parents were planning? Like, how am I planning? Am I planning? Right. Because, do I have another 50 years? Is that how we plan? How do we make that last?
Well, number one, you want to have all your documents in place no matter what. But then number two is the money.
Right.
So everyone has X amount of money. I think Michael Jackson was making hundreds of millions of dollars a year, but when he passed away, he was close to bankruptcy. So it depends on how you can stretch out that dollar. And it's a balance. So it's so interesting when a client comes into my office and I have clients that say, Ron, I have nothing. I just have nothing, and I'm really nervous. I only have $10 million. I swear.
I hear that. I totally understand that.
I get clients that come in, I'm doing fine. I'm doing really well. I said, well, let's go over your assets. I have about $10,000, $15,000 in the bank, but I take my vacations. I'm great.
Right.
So the perspective is so different.
Totally.
Totally different. So it's not just how much money you have in the bank. It's what sort of fixed income you have coming in. As far as planning, if you can support yourself beyond age 62 and you don't need to take 62, 65, you don't need to take your Social Security till age 70, or at this point it's age 66 when you start to get it. But if you wait till 70, you'll get substantially more fixed income coming in. And so the fixed income is very important, Social Security, a pension. But if you don't have that, then you have to really look at the money in the bank, how to make that last and grow. Be careful with it. We're in a climate where the stock market, I have a financial management firm with my son Josh called Advice Period. We just give advice. And the markets now are so choppy. Yes, we had a few good days there. But boy, has it been choppy. And 2018 was not a great year for the markets.
No, they said December was the worst year since 1931, since the crash. I just wanted to say something you had said, I want to just kind of clarify.
Sure.
Social Security. So it used to be, 10 or 15 years ago, I don't know how long ago, that you were able to collect your Social Security, your full Social Security at 65.
Well, you can collect it at age 62. It was 65. Now it's 66, and it's going up from there as well. I'm not sure if it's the boomers, but individuals that.
Right. Well, I know anyone born in their 60s, I believe, in the 60s.
Right.
Now it's 67 in 8 months.
Exactly.
It goes up. Right.
But what I was saying is, for example, I'm 67. And I could have started my full retirement with Social Security at age 66, but I'm holding off because I get an 8% increase. Thank God I don't need it.
Right.
I have a thriving practice. Thank God everything is good. But at age 70, I'll get 8% per year for 40. I mean, that's a substantial increase.
Right.
Because let's face it, I am at retirement age myself, but I have no plans at this point.
But you're still working, just like.
Because I have to work, you know. For,
well, a few years ago, they changed the rule that you could be working and collect Social Security.
Yes.
Which years ago you couldn't.
That's right. And I actually was at the White House, and I witnessed that.
Yeah.
At the old White House. I saw President Clinton at the time invited me to the White House. That was one of the moments I will never forget.
Yeah, that was a good experience.
Yes, I didn't get one of the pens, though.
You didn't get a pen? I don't know if he's listening, but, you know, it's Ron Petula. He didn't get a pen.
Yes. So let's come on, Bill.
You know, the stock market is a scary thing for people now.
Yes.
If you are hanging on the edge as far as your cash or money assets go, you know, where do you go to get more than 0.5%?
Yeah, well, there are places that will pay, even with money markets, or, you know, money markets are investments as well, you know, but you want to be very careful as you age. Look, the markets have always come back. You know, the 1929 crash, I wasn't there for that, but the markets came back. And the last crash, boy, did they come back. They came roaring back.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the markets are very choppy. And yes, there might be a downturn. There may not be. But as you age, it's lunacy to put a high percentage of your assets into this market, because you want to make sure that money will be there for you when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So as you age, you want to have a greater mix of fixed income. It's not going to be, you know, 80% in equities when you're 75, 80, 85. I mean, that's lunacy, you know, and that's what I see a lot of people do. We have a client who is 88. No, actually, he was 90, and he had 98% in equities. The markets were going up, and then he passed away, so he's gone now. But, you know, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah.
If you are fortunate enough to have an IRA, so, first of all, there's a couple points to this. One of them would be Medicaid, and the second one would be there's a minimum required distribution.
Yes.
What I don't have clear in my head is how far do you eventually have to wipe out the IRA?
For Medicaid? You know,
no, for anything.
For anything.
Mean, like, yeah.
Okay.
Twofold.
Twofold question.
Yeah.
You do have to take your required minimum distribution starting at age 70 and a half, or two distributions at age 71, but then yearly thereafter. If you don't take your distributions, there's a 50% penalty.
Oh, my goodness.
50% of what you were supposed to take out, and then you still get taxed on it. You know, it's crazy.
But
and
eventually you could wind up.
And there's no statute of limitations. They could go back 20 years and get you for all those years. So that's number one. Number two, for Medicaid, I'm the one who actually changed the law on Medicaid and retirement accounts. We had a case, a Queens case years ago. And after the case, I didn't have to argue it. We traded briefs. The upshot of it is that IRAs, all retirement accounts in payout status are exempt from Medicaid, but they have to be in payout status. You have to start to get your distributions. If you don't get your distributions, you can actually, let's say it's early onset. I think you mentioned that, Otto.
Mm-hmm.
So early onset, you know, someone is, we've had an early onset in the late 40s, and that was a devastating case, but that individual had an IRA, we could put it in payout status at age 48, which is what it was. And that turned the IRA from an available asset into an exempt asset.
Hmm.
So it is exempt, but it has to be in payout status. And what that payout is varies amongst different Medicaid districts. In Queens, it's just whatever the IRS says. In Nassau and Suffolk, you have to take out a little bit more.
Is the theory you start taking money out at 70 and a half, and do they want you to not have anything left when you're 90?
Well,
you know, if you keep taking out, Not a lot comes back in.
Right. They do want you to have that for your retirement, but they do want to tax those dollars. So even if you don't want to take that money out, they force you because they want to tax that money at some point in time, unless it's a Roth IRA.
Right.
And by the way, even for Medicaid, a Roth IRA is exempt if you put it in payout status, even though you don't have to take any money out of it. You don't have to take distributions. But if you want it to be exempt for Medicaid, then you'll take distributions, even from a Roth.
Hmm. That's my maiden name. I knew. Is that a relative there?
Evelyn Roth.
That's right. That's my mom.
Yeah. I have a friend whose name is Ira. And, he tells his clients, my name is all over the place. Just look at any bank. You'll see.
Everybody knows my name.
Everybody knows my name.
You know, it's so complicated, Ron and Otto. There's so much. There's so many rules. There's so many exemptions and things to consider between your IRAs, your pensions, deferred comp, your stock, annuities. I mean, it's frightening. I mean, the documents that you need. And I mean, that's why it's really so important to plan early. I mean, to face all of this when you're kind of retiring and getting older and maybe you've lost a spouse and you're alone. It's overwhelming hearing the conversation. I mean, for me. And,
But that's why a lot of people don't do it, and that's bad.
I know.
And there's only one, in my phrase, there's only one way to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Right. So you have to take these things, as Ron is doing here, which we're not going to have enough time to go through the whole thing.
No.
Yeah, we're on item number one.
We're about a minute and a half to go.
Okay.
Item number one, and we got a minute and a half, and there are seven items on the list.
Yeah.
So point being, you really have to take the time to chop away at it and just be realistic about the fact that you must do it. You don't know when this is going to strike.
Right. And it's planning, it's estate planning for unexpected healthcare needs, long-term care planning, making sure that your dollars last for your lifetime so you could live the life that you want while being within a certain budget.
Right.
Here's a question. Like assisted living, I hear people talk about assisted living and we talk about financing. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like you pay for that yourself, right? That's not covered by
Medicaid.
30 seconds to answer that one.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Most of the assisted living facilities in Nassau County are private pay,
right?
Like the Atrias, et cetera. However, there is a Medicaid-funded assisted living program. One in Nassau County is Amber Court. It's a very nice facility in Westbury. And it's Medicaid funded. And those are called ALP beds, Assisted Living Program beds.
There's so much to know. If you're listening to the show, you can always call Project Independence at 311, and you will get in touch with our community social worker who, will give advice to some degree and also, will be able to connect you with Ron.
Sure.
During our last segment, we will definitely give out your phone number if people want to talk. Thank you so much. We have eight seconds left. I'm sure you'll be back.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
We'll be right back.